Okay, ladies. Thank you. Are we ready? I don't know if I'm ready to speak another time, so I'm sorry. Okay, I guess we'll just get started. This is a panel, so you can think about if you have a question or a comment, you can save it for after. We're going to open it up after. I will begin. I'm Emily Jansen. I'm 21. I'm a baby. And I'm a full-time college student. I'm going to school for teaching, and I feel like sometimes I'm the busiest person in the world. I know it's not true, but I feel like that a lot. And one thing that comes with busyness is a lack of rest, which I think everyone in this room can probably understand when you're really busy and you have a full schedule and you just have so many things going on. There's like, I'm not going to rest. Like, I barely sleep at night. I'm not going to like calm down and talk to God. Like, when would that happen? That doesn't fit in my calendar. So I feel like that a lot. Maybe you don't. I really hope you don't. But I'm going to talk about what we do when we're in that circumstance. I have a lot of notes and maybe not a lot to say. So we're going to see how this goes. I have so much more. We were just talking about how we have so much more empathy for pastors. When they get up, how do they talk for like an hour? I have no idea. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the same general thought. If you're in the other meeting, I'm really sorry. This might be the same thing. Jesus, give me words to say that aren't my own. Okay, so my little breadcrumb of a thought for you today is that when we're in those situations where we're really busy, we have a full schedule, and we often feel like we have to be the ones to make peace for ourselves. So we can, where's Jasmine? I saw her in here. Yeah, okay. In the first session, I was like, Jasmine said this and this and this. So I was talking about you the whole time. I was like, oh my goodness. Because this morning when she was talking, I was like, she stole my message. So maybe the Holy Spirit just said the same thing to both of us, but I'm going to say it in a different way. I'm really sorry. I'm not plagiarizing. Okay. So sorry. So I just love so many things you said, and I wrote them down, so I might just quote you, which is fine. Then it's not plagiarism. So one thing, this is the word that came to my mind when I was thinking about creating that false peace that she was talking about. I can try to pacify myself in a situation. So instead of reaching for peace from Christ, instead I'm like, okay, how can I instantly feel better? So there's a lot of different things in our lives right now that we can reach for, and we can instantly feel better about ourselves. So the thing that came to my mind as a young person, it's gonna be so cliche, but I will turn to social media and I'll be like, oh, this will make me feel better. I'll just scroll, just fill my brain with nothingness, maybe get some likes. People will make me feel better about myself, and that pacifies me. It fills a need, but that need isn't long lasting. So when I'm pacifying myself with something outside of Christ, I'm feeling a need in myself, but it's not something that lasts a long time. I have to keep going back for more. So maybe I'm reaching for my favorite Netflix show, or maybe I'm just turning to my friend who I know will give me words of comfort, like, oh, it's okay, you're doing fine. Like, I feel the same way, and maybe we complain together, something like that. That can be a source of pacification. Don't get me wrong. All those things can be used for good. They can all be tools. So it's not like you're on Facebook, you're a demon. Like, it's not like that. It's just that when we have turmoil in our lives and we're reaching for something, it's because we have the Spirit in us. We have Jesus living in us, and he's like, I want to commune with my Father right now. And so there's a need in us and a thirst. The Bible says, my soul thirsts for you. But when I have that thirst, sometimes I think, what can I reach for that will immediately meet my need? So it might be something really shallow, like a TV show or social media, and those things can make me feel better for a small amount of time. But the peace of Christ is something that actually lasts forever. It's something that's long-lasting. So I'm going to read some of the Bible so I stop rambling. This happened last time. I just kept talking. And I was like, oh, I haven't opened my Bible. So, okay. So Psalm 55:2. I have it written down, so I won't turn there. Did you guys get that? Psalm 55:2. I feel like I talk really fast. So sorry. So it says, I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted. So that has to do with when I'm feeling that restlessness. That's so natural. That's something that can happen to us so often. I feel this lack, this thing that's not complete in me, and I'm restless. I'm like, ugh, what can I get that will make me feel at peace? But sometimes my definition of peace isn't the same as God's definition of peace. His peace is something that is long-lasting. He's the Prince of Peace, right? When I was thinking about him being the Prince of Peace, I was like, what does that even mean? We say that in like all our Christmas songs, Prince of Peace, you know, that song? I don't even know. But I was thinking that if he is a prince of something, that means that that's his motive. That's like his creed. Like, I am the Prince of Peace of all things. He says he is the Prince of Peace, which means that his desire for us is to have peace. There's a verse about that. I loved in the song last night. I think Amber was, I can't tell them apart, I'm so sorry. But one of them was saying, peace is a promise you keep. And I just loved that. I was like, ooh, I can hold on to that little nugget. Peace is a promise that he keeps. Every time I say pee, I feel like I'm breathing into this mic. I'm so sorry. You know. So sorry. Just plug your ears. So peace is a promise that he keeps to us. So since he is the Prince of Peace, ooh, okay, I'm getting better. He is the one who, he desires peace for his people. So God's not going out like, all right, let's wage war against everyone. That's not his desire for his people. When he created man, he created us in the Garden of Eden, like the most peaceful place ever. Like, his intent for us is to have peace. So I'll return to my first thought, and then I'll stop talking. Sorry. So in saying that, I wrote down some things. So we talked about pacifying ourselves. So when we're reaching and our soul is thirsting for the Lord, we're like, okay, what's the first thing I can get that will make me feel validated or make me feel better? And maybe it's easier to turn to things such as, I wrote, social media, indulgences, conversation, complaint, distractions. And we talked about how we're restless in our complaints and we're surely distracted. But peace has to do with worshiping God, recognizing who he is. Because if I'm just focused on who I am and what I want, then that's so shallow and it's so empty and it's not going to get me anywhere. But if I'm instead seeking to fulfill the thirst of God living inside of me, then I'm going to be so much more satisfied when I'm reaching for God's peace and I'm seeking his peace in my life and not seeking to pacify my own needs. Does that make any sense? Okay, so that was my thought. I'm going to stop there. So Miss Cynthia Norman is going to share next.
I think she should have kept speaking. All right, my name is Cynthia Norman, and I want to thank you for coming today. It's been a wonderful day. I've been very stimulated. I have lots to think about, lots to process, as you probably have also. And I wanted to talk about being an image bearer, right? And by illustration, I want to use my family. Right? I am a Schaller. You probably know my brother. Yes, he's older. So there are six of us, six of us kids. We're all still living, and we all look really similar. We're like clones. And we walk the same, and we laugh at the same kind of stuff. We shake our leg under the table when we have coffee. And we enjoy people. So that's who we are. So the thing I forgot to say in the beginning of my other presentation a few moments ago, wanted to use this illustration because I think it's very poignant. When we were kids, my dad would give us that pep talk, you know, like, you're a shaller, stand up straight, you can do anything. Like, anything you put your mind to, you can do it. Like, don't forget you're a shaller. Don't bring shame to the family name, right? And we'd be like, I can do anything. I believed him, right? And then, like, we'd go back out there, you know, to school or in sports or whatever, and it's like, I'm a shaller, I can do anything. And then, you know, splat. You know, we hit the wall or we failed the math test or whatever it was, we failed miserably. And I think all of us siblings, if we talked about it this summer when we were together, it's like you just tried again. You just kept trying again. It was the bootstrap, you know, philosophy, pull yourself up by the bootstrap. And we kept thinking, well, there must be this hidden nugget of something within us that, you know, came with the name that would open these doors for us. So that was, you know, okay, so now we are all acquainted. This is all called the old sin nature, right? And Christ, having saved us, gave us a new family and a new identity. And we become the image bearer of God. And our old man gets eliminated. And we begin to assimilate and actually reflect our new nature, which is from God. So I wanted to use this illustration that you've probably heard in the news that, you know, families have a child that dies tragically and they want to do something redemptive and they give the organs to some people who need them. This family had a daughter who died, and much like the Hadley family, you know, when their daughter died, they gave her organs to different people. So this daughter died in an I don't remember how. She was 14. Her heart went to this woman in another state. The woman suddenly, you know, like over a couple year period, really regained all of her strength and her life again. Invited the family to come. She wanted to meet them, the people that gave her this second chance at life. And when they went to her house, she had a stethoscope. She handed it to them. She wanted them to hear their daughter's heart, right? And so they did. They listened. And they knew intellectually it was their daughter's heart, but it was in this other person's body. It clearly belonged to her, right? So here's the question I want to ask you. When God stoops down with his stethoscope and puts it on your chest, does he hear your heart, or does he hear the heart of his son? Because when we became believers, we became organically united with Christ in a real way. It's not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. So God's goal with us as his image bearers is to remove anything that's not of him and create in us those things that reveal God in us to other people. That's his goal. And his chief, of course, we know his chief aim is for us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. So we think about trials. We think about, we've talked all day about storms. And we all know that, you know, if the pork chops are always in the frying pan, we're never hungry, right? If we don't have, like, we don't have to stretch too far, right? If we don't have trouble, then we generally begin to create our own trouble, right? It just is how we are. It's just the way we're wired. So, if you want a verse about the image, being an image bearer of God, I have Colossians 3, 9, and 10. You can look that verse up. And then I have John 16, 33, to be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. And then I think my new favorite verse is Matthew 23, 26. It's the words in red. They're words of Christ spoken to the Pharisees. And he says, you first wash the inside of the cup, and then the outside will become clean also. Thank you. So I'm going to open it up with questions. Emily was the MC the last time, so I'll do it this time. And I have a question for Emily. Trying to remember what it was. Oh. I had a new question. Okay, well, the one question would be, of course, like, as a young person. How do you handle social media? Meaning, like, how many hours a day do you allow yourself to watch or look at your phone? Is Instagram a thumbs up or a thumbs down? So just how do you manage that?
Got it. Okay, this is funny because I was just talking to my mom about it. She's back there like, ooh, I know she has an answer. I see you, Mom. So I'm trying to think how to be spiritual and practical at the same time. It's not an easy thing at all. It's definitely been a challenge for me. I feel like it's a challenge for a large majority of young people. I know there's a lot of young people in this room too. As someone who is of the generation that, I won't say I grew up with technology being part of my life, but when I was like a teenager, like a young teenager, like 12, 13, I had a phone, and it can become part of your developmental schema that you're building. So as a teacher, we have to learn about child development. And so I'm always like, oh my gosh, I developed like learning that technology was an integral part of my life. So it's almost like teaching myself out of it, I would say. It's not necessarily, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's definitely a challenge because it's kind of like goes like with what I said, that it's so easy with technology and social media to just be like, oh, it's instantly something that can stimulate my brain. So when I think about reading my Bible, I'm not like, I don't have those associations in my brain, like I'll instantly get something good out of it. Actually, it takes time, and it takes praying and talking to God about it and actually taking the time out of my day to go before God and like sit at the feet of my Father and say, like, I don't have anything. I need to get something from you because I have this need. And it can be so easy because I have those associations in my mind that when I use my phone or when I go on technology, I feel better about myself, and it makes me happy. It gives me a rush of dopamine. I know we have some science-y people in here, so they can, Taylor, so they can maybe affirm that. But it really does, because I have, my body chemically tells me, you go to your phone, you get good feedback. And when I go to God, I actually, if I think about it, it's not like when I go to God, I get bad feedback. It's just that it takes time, and I have to sit before him, and it's an act of worship. And I don't want to spend my life worshiping my technology because it can become an idol. It really can. I know, no matter how old you are, chances are you have a phone if you're a human. I mean, I don't want to generalize. It's just practical. You have to stay in touch with your grandbabies and everybody. It's a thing. It's real. Don't challenge me. I hear your ringtones in church. I'm just being real. So chances are you have a cell phone, and maybe to a small extent or a large extent, you kind of understand what I'm saying. I pray to God that you don't understand. You're like, what is she talking about, this young kid, you know? Because that means that you probably don't have it as an idol in your life, and that is amazing. I really hope you don't. We all do, I feel like, have idols in other areas then, if it's not technology or it's not social media or something. I never want to put in my life that, if I think about it practically, the time I spend on my phone, which now with the new iOS update, it does tell you how much time you spend on your phone, screen time, download it, which is great because it keeps me accountable. It's like, you spent 3 hours on your phone today. I'm like, 3 hours? I prayed for 2 minutes in my car. I have not talked to the Lord for 3 hours. How am I going to spend 3 hours on my phone? Because that's not giving me anything worthwhile. Does this make sense? I feel like I'm crazy sometimes. I'm sorry. So what I'm saying is that a simple way to say it and to sum it up is that if I put on a scale the time I'm spending with my idol, whether that be your phone, whether it be your shows, whether it be some book you're obsessed with, or maybe it's a person, your idol could be so many different things. But if you put that on a scale and you measure it against the time you're spending with your creator, which way is it going to tip? And for me in my life, I'm just being real, it would tip towards my phone. And I really hate that about myself. I'm like, ew, that is such an ugly fact about myself. I never want to be seen as a person who's just ooh, I'm just scrolling all the time. What is that giving me? Eternally, I'm going to sit before Jesus in heaven and be like, it says in the Bible, I'm going to give an account of my life. And am I going to sit there being like, okay, I spent 3,000 hours on Facebook. He's going to be, yeah, I got a lot of likes, but what does that make me? A better person? God, Jesus is going to be like, cool, great. But how much time did you spend with me? And why wouldn't I, time is so precious. I only get a little bit of it on earth. And which master am I going to serve? I really hope that the answer to that question is not my idol, whatever your idol is. So I hope that answers your question. That was so long. Yes, project. Or do you want, yeah.
Hi, my name's Leah. She's 21, she's not. And I'm right in the middle. I was thinking about, the subject, storms. Do you ever feel like you are a storm? I feel like every time like I'm moving around, I just bring in this like storm with me. Who knows my husband? His name is Jason Moore. He is the opposite of a storm. He is so calm. He's so soothing.
He's like a golden retriever.
And I'm so much the opposite. I am just a pit bull. Thank you. I'm a walking storm, but I thought of like Jonah and the storm that he was in. Like he caused that storm. Like he was the reason that the seas were so upside down and everyone was freaking out. And so he just told them, throw me right into it and everything will stop. And I just like, God, just help me to throw myself into the center of the storm where you are. And everything else, it may go keep going, but he's in the center of the storm. And I love that thought. But then I wanted to make mention, Krista said that God gave her a 4-syllable word, was it? And it lasted her 6 years. I want to know what that 4-syllable word is. Because integrity. Yes, that's 4 syllables. I sat there thinking, going, my vocabulary is so small. I can't even make a 4-syllable word. Think about it. But then, Jasmine, when you were sharing, I got 2 words that equal 3 syllables. Because I was asking God, give me a 4-syllable word. You were asking God for a 4-syllable word too, weren't you? Well, I got a 3-syllable, 2 words, 3 syllables. And it was when I got this picture in you were describing about how we take all these steps like maybe we're not with God for some reason, like having that quiet time, whatever the context was. But you said, when we stop, he's right there. He's just, we look and he's right there. And I just thought, turn around. I'm going to tell myself for the next 6 years, Leah, just turn around, because God's right there. So,
thank you.
There, who wants it?
She does. I don't. So we're opening it up, obviously, for questions, comments. If you're just burning with a question, we'd love to answer it. Burning with answers. Not really.
I love both of you all's messages. I thought it was like short and sweet and just really powerful. Because I do think that, you know, when we become believers, it's like we get these new desires. And those desires are like, I think it's just so pure, you know, from the heart of God. And it's just like, who are we, you know, like becoming? Like, what is this? And what am I preparing for? And I just think about how God is truly preparing his bride for his return. And even though there are these things like social media or, you know, distractions of like the busyness in life, like we can live with this expectation, like God is preparing his bride for his return. Like we have something so much greater to look forward to. And one of the things that, because I personally was struggling, you know, with trying to just move forward in my life with the Lord, but how do I do it without being worried about failing God? And I realized that there's something beautiful about just God's faithfulness in speaking to us. Like, can we get a word from the Lord on the Lord's day and just allow that to carry us through our day? So there's a need to just be good listeners, you know, and just know that in his sovereignty, he will be the good shepherd and just like, get accustomed to that like way of life. And I think that could really help us out of that like worrisome thing of how much time are we giving, like, you know, our family, our friends, our work, or, you know, yeah.
Sorry. Well, I would just say like probably 2/3 of my life is in the rearview mirror. I'm in my 60s. My mother's 90. So, you know, I got about a third left, right? And I'm still wondering, what does God want me to do with my life? You know, I actually this winter I was thinking about starting another career, like I got one more in me, you know. And my husband was like, well, only if you want to. I don't, you know, like whatever. He knows me. He's lived with me a very long time. He's just thankful I'm not asking him to move again. Because he's been putting replacement windows in houses for 30 years. Every house we fix a house up. And I'm like, all right, we're done here. Let's move on to the next one. So for me to say I want to do another new thing is nothing for him. He's like, whatever. I'll pack up if we have to move again. But I would say that, you know, I can tell you, I have it prayerfully sought the Lord about plans and things I wanted to do that I really felt God was leading me in. And I went, you know, all for it. And I fell flat on my face. I hit a wall. It didn't work out. All right, throw that one away. We'll come up with it. You know, God will give me another vision. It's all just part of the learning process. And not to be afraid, because you learn. Most people fail more than they succeed. Especially, you know, it's just like Nicole Wheatley said, it's a probability thing, you know. But just to be free and just delight yourself in the Lord. And wherever that adventure takes you is just wonderful, you know. And there's people along the way. There's vision. Some people are visionaries. Some people are not. Usually people who are visionaries don't have the skill set to make it go forward. But maybe they, you know, they motivate other people in the vision, you know. There's all just different types of people. And God has you uniquely situated. You know, but there's no failure as long as you keep going forward, you know, or just leaning forward. Maybe you're not even stepping or walking. You're just inclined in a forward direction, you know.
We have 3 minutes. No pressure.
Leah, I wanted to relay this story. And when I was in Lenox, I taught Sunday school. My very first day, I was there, and the regular teacher told me to teach about Noah. So I'm talking about how different people were, and do you think Noah was any better than anybody else? And no, he wasn't. But do you know why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? And then there was this pregnant pause, and I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to say. and there was a father there who had discreetly brought his child in late, and he was walking out, and he turned around, and he looked at me. And I said, Noah turned around to look in the eyes of God, and that's how he found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Beautiful. We could probably take one more.
I just want to just thank God for being here. We've been coming to the women's seminar since it's begun, and it's always been an exciting trip for us to come from Brooklyn, New York. And I just thank God for all the speakers. I thank God for your unveiled face as a young lady. You know, opening up, and when we speak through unveiled faces, you see the glory of God. And I just thank God for all the portions I heard from the morning session up until now, and it's just a blessing just to fellowship with you.
Okay, ladies, so we're going to pray before we go. I'll pray, I guess. Father, thank you for this time we've been able to spend together. We just remember we're just sitting before your throne looking up at you, and we're just receiving as much as we can. None of the speakers here came here with anything special to say, we're not special people, but you are our Father, and you speak through us. We're just vessels. We're empty vessels, God. And we just thank you for anything, any little drop or any crumb that you've added to our lives because of this day. And we thank you for each of these precious lives in this room. They're all so special in your eyes. You're especially fond of each one of them. And we just go out encouraged. Let us to encourage each other, God. In Jesus' name, amen.